Welcome to Bible Fellowship Church's Sunday Morning Messages. Our podcast records the Sunday sermon from our pastor, Dr. Don Trest, other church leaders, and special guests. We hope you enjoy it, find it inspirational and enlightening to your understanding of the Bible. Life can be hard, but God has revealed himself to us through the Word for our salvation and growth as believers. To help support our ministry, please consider becoming a subscriber and financial contributor. Links to donate are on our website at bfc4u.org.
So, man is humbled, and each one is brought low. Do not forgive them. What do you think about that statement? I can tell you that Isaiah preached it. He preached it before the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He probably had assembled before him much of the population present on the day that he proclaimed this. Would have been the religious leadership, the high priest, the family of the high priest, and others who worked in the temple complex that were in charge of the various aspects of the religion that was observed in this temple in Jerusalem. Probably representatives of the king, if not the king himself, members of his family, high-ranking officials in the Jerusalem government, upper echelon members of society, as we'll find out in other sermon podcast. So they stood there. They assembled. Probably this vision cast, this vision podcast of Isaiah was announced in advance. The news had gone out that Isaiah, the spokesperson of God, would speak again. He would assemble in Jerusalem on a certain day, and he would proclaim in the hearing, within the hearing of all who cared to know what it is that God had wanted Isaiah to say. And so Isaiah says in verse 9, so man is humbled, he's debased. He based that on the fact that the people of Israel had looked outside the confines of their own nation. They had looked to the surrounding pagan countries and had begun to become enamored with their way of life, with things that they possessed, with things that they did, their habits, and began to incorporate some of these practices, these observances, into their own life. He mentioned the fortune tellers of the Philistines in particular. These were blessing prophets. The Philistines were known for, as part of their religious community, as far as their culture, that it was led and by men who would step forward and say they're speaking on behalf of the gods, or God, as case may be. And they would have things to say to individuals about their lives. Everyone wanted to know what tomorrow was going to look like, or next week. Are they going to be healthy? Are they going to have enough money? How about their children? Are they going to be okay? These are legitimate concerns that we have. And there is an aspect of religion that plays on that. And in the Philistines, they had their fortune tellers. They had these blessing prophets that would identify where the concerns that people were having in regards to their personal lives. And then in order to get prestige, to build reputation, to have influence over the lives of others, they would declare that they had been appointed by God to tell people about their personal lives. And these were false prophets. These were not spokespersons of the one and true God. Now, they may have been influenced supernaturally by demons and others, as the case may be, and they may have been able to reasonably speak to the lives of those that they had influence over. But because the people of Israel, because they had become enamored with these blessing prophets, then that's one of the reasons why this statement was made by Isaiah. So man is humbled, he's debased, by these practices. Each one is brought to the low. He's become pathetic. And Isaiah says, do not forgive them. They've crossed over the threshold, the perdition threshold. These are not the words that you expect to hear from the spokesperson of God, Isaiah, the prince of the prophets. You would expect for him to say something like, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But Isaiah was a man authorized by God to speak for God, and he announced in this expression, do not forgive them, that the people of Israel, those 10 tribes to the north, but also Jerusalem and Judah to the south, that they had or were approaching this perdition threshold, and that what they did with eyes wide open. It was not, they did not need these words. These words would have been out of place. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, because they were well aware of what they were doing. This was the case, especially with the religious leadership in the city of Jerusalem, the high priest and his family, the upper echelon of Jerusalem society, those who controlled the wealth of the country, those who were leaders in the military and the economy. These people were eyes wide open as to the direction that the society and the culture in Jerusalem and in Judah was moving, and they did nothing to change it. They continued down that pathway. They were caught up in it, and they were looking outside of the proclamations of the Word of God. And for the people of Israel, that would have been the Mosaic Law, and they were living contrary to that. They felt like it was to their advantage to live differently than the way that the scriptures prescribed. And so it had brought the culture, had brought civilization in the territory known as Israel and to the nation of Israel, all 12 tribes. It brought them to the point to where the man of God could actually cry out, do not forgive them. And in verse 10, Isaiah gives counsel to the people of Israel. He says, this is how you need to respond. This is what you need to do from this point forward. Listen to what he said. In verse 10 of chapter 2, Isaiah tells his audience, enter into the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and from the splendor of his majesty. The haughty looks of men shall be brought low, and the lofty pride of men shall be humbled, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Wow, that's not the kind of message that you would expect from a preacher wanting to build the size of his congregation. To speak like this to the audience would not win friends, but would probably win the disfavor of those who would hear the message. But we need to hear this as well, because this message regarding a day yet to come, in which those who are characterized by this lofty pride of men, this open rebellion against the Word of God and against the authority of God, that there's coming a day where they're going to be humbled, they're going to be brought low, and so that the Lord himself can be exalted in that day. Now, if Isaiah was the only one who talked like this, then we could probably say that in some way God fulfilled that in the time of Isaiah or shortly afterwards in the history of the people of Israel. But we know from the New Testament, even from the words of Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 24 and 25 in the great Olivet Discourse, where Jesus also speaks language very similar to what we're reading here in Isaiah. He proclaims that there is a day coming where the city of Jerusalem and the people of Israel and all mankind in general will have crossed over this perdition threshold and will enter into a domain in which the judgment of God will fall upon mankind. And the Apostle Paul and the other writers of the New Testament address this day to come. And then when we get to the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, that seems to be the topic. There's this coming judgment upon the human race, in which God is going to bring judgment upon mankind because mankind has crossed over this threshold. They've reached a point in which forgiveness is no longer possible for them, and they've done so as a society with eyes wide open, well aware, having been informed that continued movement in this direction will bring about disaster, will bring the judgment of God upon them. Isaiah proclaims, "For the Lord of hosts has a day against all that is proud and lofty, against all that is lifted up, and it shall be brought low." So, you know, I don't like to be the bearer of bad news. I would rather look in Scripture for a word of encouragement. I would rather be a blessing kind of preacher than one who has to say these types of things. But yet, to be honest, to be true to the word, I need to carefully unfold, unpack those things that the prophets proclaimed and try to identify whether those things that were said applied, had relevance to the generation only to which the prophet spoke, or whether the things that were spoken extend beyond that generation into the day and age in which we live in and up to the time in which the Lord Jesus Christ will return in power and glory and exaltation. And I'm of the opinion that Isaiah, especially in these verses that we're reading in this second chapter, is referencing that period of time that will immediately precede the second coming of Christ the Messiah. The second coming of Christ is different than the first coming of Christ, characterized differently. Isaiah will address both comings of Christ. He will portray the reasons for the first and second coming. But the second coming of Christ, the reason why he's coming in power and glory to bring judgment upon the world is because humanity as a whole is increasingly turned away from him. His offer of grace and mercy and forgiveness and salvation has been spurned. And the reason why we've gone 2,000 years since the first coming of Christ is in part because of the desire of God that none should perish, that as long as there's opportunity for someone to come to faith in Christ, to acknowledge him as the one who bled and died on their behalf on the cross of Calvary, was risen from the dead on the third day for their justification, as long as there's reasonable expectation that there will be those who will have opportunity to put their trust in the Savior, in the Lord Jesus Christ, judgment is forestalled. But there's coming a day in which this perdition threshold will be crossed by mankind. I believe the rapture of the church will take place based upon teaching in the New Testament regarding the church. I think he will remove the church, the bride of Christ, from the danger, from the judgment that's going to befall the earth. He's going to take his beloved to be with him in heaven, and then all hell literally will be unleashed upon planet earth. And planet Earth will see destruction and judgment like it's never seen before. When it says here, when Isaiah counsels them to enter into the rock and hide in the dust from before the terror of the Lord, that's reminiscent of Revelation, the book of Revelation, last book in the Bible, and where the Lord Jesus is pulling the seals. He's pulling them one by one from the scroll. And there are seven seals to the scroll. When he gets to the sixth seal and he pulls that seal, then it's revealed in Revelation chapter 6 that all the great men on the planet, whether they be in the political ruling realm, whether they be financiers or leaders in the economy, those who delve in great wealth, or whether it be those who market in religion, but whatever aspect of society in which they're are leaders, that the scripture tells us that when Christ pulls this sixth seal, that they will enter into the rocks. They will hide themselves from the wrath of him who comes. And so Isaiah, I think, is referencing that coming day. And that may not be too far in the future. We 2,000 years removed, almost 2,020 years removed from the birth of Christ and his crucifixion and resurrection that happened around 29 AD. So we're not far removed from 2,000 years from the first coming of Christ and all that it meant. And so it may be that the world that we're living in is going to be the world that experiences the fulfillment of the prophecies of Isaiah regarding this day. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. The Lord of hosts has a day coming. And it's probably in reference to that. I want to apologize in one sense because the message today has been ugly. Isaiah's had ugly things to say, and I've not said everything that Isaiah said. I don't know if I can bring myself to remain here long. So I encourage you to open up the Bible for yourself. Go to Isaiah chapter 2. We looked at the first five verses last week. We picked up at verse 5 again this week, and we've really only gone through about verse 12. And Isaiah, the chapter itself, will conclude at verse 22. He will use language that's quite artful. This sermon that he's preaching, as reported in Isaiah chapter 2, is by Bible scholars is considered a psalm or a poem in regards to what's happening. So the language is pretty lofty. But let me read another verse from this section. In verse 17, he says, "And the haughtiness of man shall be humbled, and the lofty pride of men shall be brought low, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day." You know, that certainly hasn't happened. Whether you're here in the United States, or whether you're in China, or whether you're in Ethiopia, no matter what country and nation that you're in the world today, there's this haughtiness of man. There's this lofty pride of man that pervades all society. One of the things that I've noticed in this coronavirus world that we live in now is the silence of the church. Really, they're not a principal player in what's going on. They've been silenced, no longer permitted to assemble at the church on Sunday morning and other times, though they are meeting in other venues, which is great. But even in the news, even in the halls of leadership, whether it be the White House or whether it be the Congress or state and local governments, there's not a sense. You don't get the sense that people are actually depending upon God or looking to the Lord. It just seems like there's a confidence in man, in the political system maybe, or in science, that the way to work our way through this present pandemic and the economic problems associated with it, that it's within the mind, it's within the capability of man himself to be able to navigate through this. There doesn't seem to be any semblance of awe in any of the leaders within our country that there's a need to fall before the high and uplifted God of the universe. There's no sense that maybe these things are happening so that we might have recourse, we might have opportunity to turn to the Lord and to acknowledge him. So I'm saddened, actually. It just seems like the church itself is growing indifferent to the dilemma. We don't seem to have the power of God over the lives of people and over the circumstances of people. It seems like we are losing our effectiveness, that the church is digressing and no longer a relevant factor in the real problems and in the real world. I say that in a way that, but confessing at the same time that we have a God who created all things, who is in complete control and is aware of everything that's going on in the world, and that things are working out in accord with his dictates, according to his plan. And we can be assured of that. And so we can be encouraged, like Isaiah, to know that the Lord is in control and that he is definitely working the course of history toward a time, toward a juncture in which the Lord alone will be exalted. And Isaiah has been preaching to that need. So Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace asking you to help us to live our lives day by day, moment by moment, in the light of your word. Help us, Lord, to walk and to live our lives, to orchestrate our plans, to establish our life and living in accord with what is plainly said within your word. Help us, Lord, not to be dependent upon man, whether it be the politicians, whether it be the blessing prophets, whoever they may be. But help us, Lord, to truly live our lives in confidence of the one who is willing to come and to be our Savior. You came the first time to save us from sin through the atonement, the shedding of your precious blood. We know you're coming a second time and that you will be exalted above all in that day, that all the universe, not only mankind, not only planet Earth, but also the angelic beings throughout the whole universe and throughout all the quarters of heaven are going to be shouting and rejoicing and declaring the wonder and the power of the God of the universe. And so, Lord, we long for that day, as we are told. And I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Sunday message. We hope your understanding increased and maybe discovered one or two things you can use to improve your relationship to God and to fellow believers. If you aren't a member of a local church, we invite you to come check out Bible Fellowship Church.